Welcome back to the Pestergen Podcast, where we embark on an enlightening exploration of pest control's evolution with the experienced William the Merciful. Uncover how pest management strategies have transformed over the years, the trails of steering a small business, and the indispensable value of honesty in the trade. Filled with engaging anecdotes and profound insight, this episode offers a captivating look into the life of a pest control expert. So get ready to be informed, amused, and inspired by tales of adaptation and innovation.
It's time for the Pestergen Podcast with your hosts, Jenny and Candace.
Hello, all my pretty pesties everywhere. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of the Pestergen Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Candace, out in the Pacific Northwest, living in the 60-degree weather for whatever God knows reason. Along with me, as always, I have Jenny. For anybody that is actually watching on YouTube, you're not going to be able to see her today. Her camera's not working. We tried. It's okay. Yes, she has sad face. How are you, Jenny, besides, well, your camera not working?
You can't see it, but I'm sad face.
How's your week been?
Yeah, technical difficulties, but that's fine. As long as I can hear y'all, damn, we good. I'm doing good. I was cold today. It was very cold today here.
It was.
Slick. And I need to get new boots because I almost died several times.
Please tell me you're not still wearing the same boots that I told you when you blew a tire to go get new boots.
No, these are different. But I got them on Facebook Marketplace, and they're actually nice. They're like the Justin's cowgirl boots or whatever, but they have no traction on slick surfaces. I guess I should have figured that with cowgirl boots. But, you know, with learning new things, today's episode is getting schooled with our lovely Bill Huth. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Yay. Good. Excited to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
I'm very excited to be here.
For the people who don't know, this is Jenny's boss. This is the owner of Trio Pest Control.
Yes, the one and only.
As known on the Pest Control Humor Depot, William the Merciful.
Exactly. Yes. The Mercifulist. Indeed. And you have lived up to that name in my life, so... I sincerely appreciate that. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we love having you, Jenny. You know that.
Thank you.
Yep.
The love.
See, you're lucky she's closer to you because I would have done the same thing. Like, I would have hired her ass in a minute if she was close to me. I would have figured out because I have no employees yet. It's just me and Brandon, but I would have figured it the hell out.
Yeah, I don't know if Jenny's made this announcement or not, but we're opening a new office in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And guess who's going to be running that office?
Yay!
Ladybug.
Yeah,
Jenny Wilson.
I'm so excited. And we have not announced it. That was the grand announcement. So I'm freaking stoked.
Yeah, I'm excited too. In fact, I don't think I told you this, but the first week of January, you and I are going to be going up there to spend the whole
That's what's up! Yay!
That's so awesome. She was telling me about the original room office that you were going to get for her. Did you figure out a new one?
I did. I found one. It's a little more centrally located, and it's only 5 minutes from the interstate.
Nice.
The original office was, it seemed like it took forever just to get down to the interstate. So I was like, I got to find something a little closer.
Right. That's awesome. And see, that right there is a good boss, where you're thinking of everything, not just, this one's cheaper, or, whatever.
Right.
You're like, obviously your techs, your employees are going to be more efficient if they can get to their job quicker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good thinking.
Yes. And them up to me, because I'm sure he or Brad or whoever might come up to the Fort Wayne market. It would suck for you guys to have to travel extra.
I think it's gonna. It's gonna work out real well.
I can just picture your face right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'll do the faces for you. Just
So with old school pest control, so how long have you been in the business, Bill?
I started in October of 1998 when I was 30 years old. And so I've been in the business 27 years now. 17 as an owner.
Damn. Nice. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Yeah. Loved every minute of it. Now, you know, in my career, I've only worked with maybe 3 women. And I got to say, I feel so sorry for you guys sometimes. I tell you, the technicians, depending on who you work with.
Yep. Yep, that's awesome.
I've been fortunate enough that my only technician I've ever worked with is my own husband. So if he wants to play the you can't do this because you're a girl, we're going to have an issue.
So when you're sleeping with the boss, who is actually the boss? Who's sleeping with the boss? You or him?
Technically, I'm the owner.
Okay, so he's sleeping with the boss. I got you.
Yeah, he always introduces me as the boss lady. This That's is the awesome. Boss lady at work and home. And I'm like, okay.
That's so great. When Bill mentioned Fort Wayne and everything, I messaged him and I said, can I change my title on everything as branch manager? He goes, well, you're pretty much every employee in Fort Wayne.
Branch manager / tech / sales / accounting /
you're
CSR.
The whole office, whatever you want to title yourself. Then she told Brad, messaged Brad about it. So Brad messaged me, well, she gets to be branch manager. I want to be overlord.
Overlord of tree. No, you need to put that on your business card.
Yes.
I told him, I responded to him and said, I am the god of overlords.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly.
He can say the overlord of PCHD. You were the overlord of Trio. What are we doing?
That's right.
Exactly. If he wants a fancy title, he could be like director of sales or something.
There you go. There you go.
We do random stuff like that. Brandon will be like, let me get a hold of the HR recruiting executive branch manager of stupidity.
Yeah, right.
And we always say that, like, my oldest, she's our HR department. And then, I think we've named our youngest like the customer service or something, because he can get in with everybody. He's got this way about him.
That's great. Then,
well, my daughter just refuses to answer the phone ever. We don't actually ever send anybody to her. It's just like an ongoing joke that she's the HR.
I've always said that 90% of this business is being a people person. You have to be a people person. The other 10% is work. That's the way. If you're good with people and people like you, then you're going to succeed in this business.
That is very fair.
That is very true. Like, I can banter with people, like, forever, mm-hmm. over nothing. And Brandon actually heard me talking. It was with my kids' old doctor's receptionist. Yeah. I started doing her pest control. And, you know, so when I was leaving, I saw her, you know, everything looked great. The only webbing I really saw was on, like, the north side of the building. And she's like, it's always that side of the building. It's always something on that side. And I'm like, it's the windblown side. It happens. And she's like, I'm just going to break that side down. I'm like, mammy, you can do what you want to do. It's your home, but I wouldn't advise it. I said, you want to keep the pests out, you kind of need a wall. And she's laughing, I'm laughing, Brandon's in my ear, and he was like, listening to you talk to people is just the best thing in the world. And I'm like, I was just talking to her. I'm like, I don't know.
Just being me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just start randomly talking, and sometimes I'm like, I probably shouldn't say that. Oops.
Yeah. Yep. I know early in my career, a friend of mine actually got me into pest control. He's no longer in pest control, but he's the one that talked me coming into pest control. And he would go out with me and train me. And one of the things he said to me, he said, Bill, you're going to do well in this business. I said, why do you say that? He said, because people like you. Every customer we've been to today has liked you. And I like, and that kind of stuck with me. So
It really is. Like, you have to be able to, like, connect with people and, you know, like, just understand, like, why they're freaking out over seeing some ants or, you know, and while you're thinking, dude, they're just some ants. Calm down.
Right.
It could be something insane for them. I have one like that right now. She literally texts me every day to let me know how her aunt situation is going. It's the cutest thing in the world. I love her to death. She's like, they're really going after that bait today. And I'm like, good. Let him have it. Because I put it down a few weeks ago, and then they swarmed up on her backsplash. So, you know, it was just this big black blob of sugar ants. And so she wiped it all away. And I'm like, no, have to leave it. I'm like, I know it is like incredibly hard to watch that because she has a super clean house. And I'm like, I know it's hard. I get it. I said, but you have to leave it.
Yep.
So I came before I had to run out of town. I went back over to her house and she thanked me like 1,000 times for, I'm like, dude, it took me like 5 minutes to walk up your driveway, knock on the door. Your husband let me in. I went, and then I, it's okay. But now I have it like in her bottom cabinet. She has a Lazy Susan in it. So like the base that it sits on, they were kind of just scouting around the base. So I like turned the Lazy Susan a little bit, put some underneath it, turned it back. So you can't actually see it unless you move it. So it eases her a little bit. It's not visually right there in front of her face. But yeah, she had to let me know this morning that they were really going after it. And I told her, I said, because she has like a lot of her baking stuff in that Lazy Susan. You know, like her sugars and her maple syrup. And I said, if you want to move that just to make yourself feel better, move it. She's like, no, they're not even after that at all. They're just really after that bait stuff. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, good. Great. Leave them alone.
That's it. Let them do their thing.
I know it's hard. I said, but the more of them that eat it, the quicker they're going to die.
Right.
Let them take it.
I agree.
It's hard to watch, man, sometimes.
Yep. You, especially customers like customer you had that had the perfect home. Those people are very particular on how they want things. Mm-hmm. If they have a home like that, they called you out because they don't want ants on their kitchen counter. So, so you got to be inventive sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Luckily enough, everybody around here that gets their ants on a notorious level, they all realize that where we're at was either, our city was either built on a marshland or a sand dune.
Yeah.
We got ants. Yeah. They're all year long. There's no stopping it. So it's like, I have one that she's constantly complaining of it. And so I pulled the kick plate from underneath her dishwasher and all the old rodent food stash from her rodents that she had years ago is still under there. Guess where all the ants are? So I pulled the kick plate out. I shined my flashlight in. I'm like, come here and look. Clean this. Everything else in her house is relatively clean. Relatively she's got a bunch clean. Of dogs, you know, so she's got the dog fur and stuff. Whatever. I don't care about that. But, you know, there's not like, you know, candy all over the place and the dog kibble here, piece over there, whatever. I'm like, clean this. Clean this out. And this will really help. It really will.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to go away forever.
Right.
But it will help.
But it will help keep from attracting them. Yeah.
Yes. I can't make them come to my bait if they know that other food is there.
Right.
I can try.
Absolutely. Yeah. Residential, I don't have, your residential customers will, if you say, hey, if you do this, it'll help. They'll do it.
Yeah.
My problems with commercial, like restaurants, and they just, you can harp at them all day sometimes and they just.
Yep.
They say, it's your job. That's what they tell you. I say, that's your job to get rid of my ants. Not my job. I'll do the best I can.
Yep. It's a 50-50 split. I do my job. You do your job.
You do
and then
your
it's 100%.
Job. Yep.
And it'll work.
Yep.
So if you started in 98, what kind of company were you with back then? Was it big box? Was it?
Small mom and pop.
Oh.
Yeah, I worked for I started out with a company called Pesco Pest Control. They were owned by, I forgot his name, Bonnie and Dan Everts. And yeah, that's where I got my start.
Have you ever worked for Big Box?
I worked for the Big Green Tea. Yep. In fact, our overlord for the PCHD was my service manager at the Big Green Tea.
Well, yeah.
That's how we know each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, yep. That's if you had so asked cool. me back then, would Brad Harvey be working for you in the future? I would have said no. Not that I wouldn't have hired him. Don't get me wrong. Right. I just wouldn't have thought it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I love the photo that Brad showed me of you, Dusty, and him. That was green tea, right?
Yeah, that's been green tea. Sure was. Yep. Probably that's around 2004, 2005.
Damn.
Epic.
Mm-hmm.
I was graduating high school at that time.
Hey, now.
I graduated in 2003.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, 1987.
Yeah.
I'm an old man.
Yeah. I was only 3 years old at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm exactly 20 years younger than Brad to the day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Me and Brad share a birthday. And then
I remember that.
Yeah. Apparently one of his brothers, I can't remember, and Brandon share a birthday December 2nd. I was like, what the hell?
Wow. No kidding.
Do you have any more relatives that share birthdays with me and my family? What do we do?
But you see, that's why you're on this episode, is because you're schooling us.
That's right.
You have all the wisdom.
Yes.
Pretty
well, I don't know about wisdom, but...
Pest control wisdom.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, so do you remember your very first job?
I do. Who doesn't? My very first job, I almost quit.
Shit.
Yeah, like I was talking about earlier, my friend who was training me, he took me out on a starling job. Was my very first job. Now, have you guys done a starling job?
I haven't.
Okay. Starlings nest in families.
Mm-hmm.
So they make these huge nests, and they're usually about 3 feet tall, maybe 3-4 feet wide. Just grass and debris and poop and eggs. And well, in this particular day, it was probably almost 100 degrees outside. So it's probably we had to get up into an attic, and the attic was probably 150 degrees, if anything else. It was hot up there. The attic was only probably about 3, maybe 4 feet deep. So we had to belly crawl, no floor. So it was all on the joists. We're belly crawling, and it was probably 50 feet to each side of the home. And there was a starling nest at the end of the attic on each side. So we're up there. We have to wear respirators because when you're putting that stuff into trash bags, it's just flying around in the air. So we've got our respirators on. We're wearing long sleeves. We're jeans and work boots, and it's 150 degrees. We're belly crawling into this attic to get to one side to the other. Got all this debris flying around in the air. We finally get the job done. I get out. I looked at Jeff, which was my friend, and I said, Jeff, I don't think I want to do this, man. This sucks. He looked at me and he said, this will probably be the worst job in your entire career. And he was right. It has been. It's been the worst one I've ever done. Yeah, it was the nastiest too.
Yeah, see, you get the really, really bad one out of the way, then you don't have to worry about it.
Right, right.
That is wild.
So that was my first job. Yeah, that was my very first job.
It's awesome. So like, how much has like pesticide, like not really formulas, but like just the pesticides themselves changed? I know, like obviously, like DDT used to be a thing. All of that.
Yeah. Like, when I entered the pest control industry, a DERS ban was the big thing.
Yeah.
Termidor wasn't around. DDT and chlordane and all that had been discontinued years ago. Now, if you were talking to some of the guys that worked for me, like Dusty and Dale, Dale started his pest control career in 1970, and then Dusty started in 1980. So those guys got some stories about DDT and chlordane and all that, but it was all gone by the time I got into the industry. But yeah, DERS ban was the big thing. Like, we use that for everything: termites, carpenter ants. You name it, that's what we used. But it stunk. It was the worst. It would drive people out of their homes.
Oh my gosh.
It was awful.
That's wild.
But then of course, things have gotten better, you know, as far as the products we use, the odors, things of that nature. And then Termidor came out for termite only at the time, and that revolutionized the way we treat for termites. And then later it was labeled for general pests, and it's really revolutionized the way the industry services now. I love it.
Yeah, with the odor thing, since like. Obviously, I've been doing this for like the same amount of time as Jenny. Like, There's really not a whole lot of odors to them anymore, unless they're green, because then they're minty.
Yep.
But we got a client, and she was telling us, you know, because she used to have it our service with Eastern, and she had, I mean, not even, I'd say 20 feet at the most off of her garage is an old tree stump that prior to her late husband passing away, he had like cut a hole into the side of it and like honeybees had just taken over the inside of it. She loved it. We thought it was super cool too. But obviously she wanted to be very, you know, cautious about them. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh yeah, you know, we'll obviously on that side, we'll keep everything super low. We'll only use green products out here just to minimize risk. And she was like, oh, yeah, they use green products, too. And Brandon said, asked her something about, you know, oh, do you like the smell of the mint? And she's like, what smell? And we're like, what do you mean, what smell? Like, and so, like, I just happened to already have some Ecovia mixed up. So I sprayed a little bit, like, in front of her door.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh, I've never smelled that before. And went, oh, my God. I'm like, what the hell did they use? And she had her old reports, and not one of them had a chemical use on it. And I'm going, did we not use anything?
What?
That's wild.
But now she enjoys the smell of the mint because then she knows that I did my job.
That you did your job.
That.
Absolutely.
And that her bees are safe. Actually, they weren't even around this summer, but the summer prior, she said she watched, I think it was like 4 or 5 separate like buds off, just go out into her orchard. She has 100 freaking acres of orchards and cattle land and everything. So yeah, she was just sitting on her front porch, just watching all these different segments go out. And I'm going, nifty.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a lot of cool stuff. She's got a barn owl and oh yeah, that's great. I love going out there. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Just when you're talking about smells, it's like, I mean, that's all that I ever, you know, have that's smelly is eco.
Yeah. It was hard during the transition from the chemicals we used that had odors. People could tell.
Yeah.
Then when we started getting away from that, people would claim that we were never there, that we didn't do a treatment, that we didn't, you know, because they couldn't smell anything. That was difficult, that transition with the customer, because customers just didn't, they expected the smell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That told them that we had been there and they were happy.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be hard.
It was. It was very difficult. That happened to me a lot.
Yeah.
That happened to me a lot. Then they would try to explain to the customer, well, we're using a very low odor product now. But we'd have to go out and find something that stunk, make them believe that we actually treated.
Yep, that's just like a baseboard jockey, quote unquote, versus like treating in cracks and crevices that we get today. It's like, you didn't spray everything.
IPM was a brand new idea when I got into the industry. It was talked about, but it really was never implemented. People, even the technicians, the owners, none of them were like, they were all like, well, my customers expect me to go in and spray the baseboards. That's what we've always done. Now you want me to change. So it was very difficult to get IPM rolling.
I bet.
When it first came out. But it finally caught on, though. I think most people realized, okay, it does work. You know, I got to explain it to my customers so they know.
Yeah.
So they understand.
The one I always have to explain is whenever we go in for either a roach job or a flea job. And the first question I always get asked is, oh, are you going to set off a bomb?
Right.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Yeah. That, I
don't care about everything being up here. I want it down here.
Yeah. I had a customer call in not too long ago. She says, I need you to come in and fumigate for mice. Yeah.
All over it.
Yeah, I said I had to explain to her, that's not how it works, and I explained it to her. She was all right with it. But
speaking of, this is kind of off topic, but today on Facebook, it was in one of our local area Facebook groups, this lady posted that she had just gotten a quote from the Big Green Tea for $5,000 to spray her attic for mice.
Yep.
So I commented, I didn't want to, especially now that I'm growing my Facebook as more of a professional platform, I didn't want to go in there like, that's ridiculous, you know? So I just said, I tagged Trio Pest Control and put 100%. Well, because I commented on it, it posted in like people's, my friends' feeds on their Facebooks, and Cheesebags commented from on the other side of the U.S. and tagged Trio Pest Control too. And I'm
that
just like,
is so cool. That is awesome. Yeah. I love that. And then I love that
they hearted mine too. So it like it looked like you know we got some fans going.
I love that. I love that. And I love it. Yeah.
$5,000 to spray your attic for mice.
The larger companies, you know, like Big Green Tea and Big O, and they're getting into the insulation. There's insulation out there now that is treated with pesticides. And they're selling this insulation and charging these people this kind of money. Now, for everybody who does work for the big companies and sells these, more power to you. I mean, it's a way for your company to make money, a way for you to make commissions. I'm having a problem with a customer calling me back with one of those companies that went out there, told them they need this insulation, their insulation removed and replaced. And then I go out there and I find out there's nothing wrong with their insulation. That irritates me, makes me mad, and you're just trying to make a buck. Stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. I go up there, I see, half a dozen droppings, no urine or very little urine. I'm sorry, it doesn't need to be replaced. It's fine.
Yes. Or it's just fine. Like a small section, not the whole damn attic.
Yeah, right, right.
Like this little, 8x6 section.
Yep.
Replace that piece.
Yep.
Yeah,
we had one of those. She's a beautiful older lady, but she's got the money. Like, her whole, estate and whatever is literally willed to her dog. And she's got family.
Love that. I'm going to do the same thing. Willing everything to my dog.
She's amazing. Like the house she has here is just her vacation home, essentially. She lives, northeast a little bit more than me. But she was told by Eastern that all of her attic insulation needed to be replaced because she was just overrun with rodents and they're chewing up everything. Quoted her, it was either 10 or 15 grand. Now, her house isn't humongous, especially attic space wise. And Brandon goes out to look at it because her neighbor works for one of our property managers and he heard about it and was like, Hold on. Let me call the pest company that we work with. So Brandon went out and looked at it and he was like, okay, so the insulation, it could probably use replace. Is it needed, yesterday? No. And he found the entrances on where they were getting in and we do her pest control. And then she get her insulation replaced. She just got the blow-in insulation. But it was not a hurry up and do it yesterday situation. Right. She just got it done. And then she had plumbers come in and stuff and fix some of her plumbing. Apparently they had missed a spot of, I think it was the PEX piping, whatever. And no, it wasn't PEX. They were replacing all of her old corroded stuff and chewed on whatever with PEX, but they had missed old one. And it was a copper pipe or something, old ass one. And they tried to blame us for it. That's rodent chew. The rodent chewed through that. So Brandon hurries up and goes out there. He was an hour away and he rushes over there and gets there and he's like, this is a metal pipe.
Right.
And this is rust. No.
Route.
Yeah. So she took Brandon's word for it because he took pictures of it all as we do. And they just went off of, this is what I saw, but they didn't give her any proof.
Any proof.
So, she made them fix it. And I was like, ha, fuck you.
They were just looking for an excuse, that's all.
This isn't our fault.
Yep.
You literally missed a whole section of pipe. How is it not your fault? Even if a rodent did chew through an old-ass one that was rusting through, how is it not your fault?
Right.
I'm not the plumber.
Right.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
So, Bill, who were your mentors or, like,
Lord,
people that helped you throughout your career?
I tell you, it was the people I worked with, people who had been in the industry for many, many years. Some of those people, like there was a, I used to work for a company, well, no, it was Pesco. When I worked for Pesco, I worked with a man by the name of Mo Hammonds. Mo Hammonds used to be, he used to own a grocery store in Ingalls, Indiana, and had, it was a small grocery store, had owned it for years. Unfortunately, with all the big stores that came around and took his business, he ended up closing it up, and he got into pest control. He was a big help. He taught me a lot. He taught me a lot. But there's been several over the years that I've worked with. When it came to mice, I'm having a brain fart. Sorry, I'm 57. I have brain farts all the time. The mouse guy, entomologist, very well known in our industry. He used to, when I worked for Baxter Pest Doctors, the owner would have him come in, and I will think of his name in a minute, have him come in and train us. And I got to know him really well, and he gave me some advice, big mentor too, that I looked up to. I'm having the worst brain fart right now. Sorry, it'll come to me. I'll tell you in the middle of it.
Yeah, I feel like this is my every morning at Trio when I ask you guys a question. It's all four of them.
We're all standing around scratching our heads going, well.
Who is that one guy?
One dude that did
I'm sure
stuff.
One of your listeners out there probably knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, probably.
Well, yeah. Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
So what's like your favorite kind of job to do? Like rodent jobs, roaches?
Oh, I'll tell you what my favorite bug is, and that's the subterranean termite. I don't know why. But I love the subterranean termite. I think they're just interesting, cool. I just love the subterranean. That is my favorite. I'll put it to you this way. When I took my 7B, which is our termite exam here in Indiana, I got a 50 out of 48. Or 48 out of 50, I'm sorry.
Okay, I was like, what?
Hey, man, I'm that good. No.
That's hard edge.
I just think the subterranean termite is the coolest bug on the planet. Only bug that eats wood, the way their gut works, and their, you know, with the bacteria in their gut and all, I just think that is cool. I don't know why, but I do.
It is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My time with Trio, I've gone down that journey with termites with you guys, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep. Jenny passed her 7B a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been exploring with you guys.
Yep.
It's been fun.
Well, and it's fun getting like trained to do something like that by somebody who enjoys it so much. Because then it's not like mundane and humdrum. They're really excited about it.
Right.
And not only that, but Bill put me primarily with Richard, who I believe he told me he did only termite work for like 13 years or something.
Yeah, Richard. Nice. Richard and I worked for a company called Circle City Pest Control together. Yeah, it was me, Richard, and the owner's son, Bill Hall. We were the three termite guys. Well, Charlie Hall would come in and help too from time to time, but yeah. And we kept, back in those days, termites are different today than they were back then. Such as swarmer season. Swarmer season used to start like around February here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we won't get a swarm until April now.
Wow.
So it's really changed here from when I first got into the industry. I don't know if it's what's causing it, whether the climate's changing or what's going on. But yeah, it used to be you could count on at least one or two swarms in February. Then they'd really start to swarm in March. And then you were busy through May with swarms. Not that way anymore. You may get a swarm or two in March, but it mostly starts in April. Yeah, it's really changed here. But
that's cool.
I don't know. I don't know if that had anything to do with the question. I forgot what the question was.
Me too. That works.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
Right on.
So like, how did you come about to Trio? Did you buy it? Did you just decide to open a business?
I started Trio Pest Control with $10,000 in my 401k and my Jeep Cherokee and B&G.
Nice.
And I did all the free advertising I could online. I went door to door. Friends recommended people to me. You know, my first year in business, I went a little hungry. I only did about $30,000. But by my third year, I was making six figures.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah. Yep. So it started slow, but I worked hard at it. And it has just grown and grown and grown from there.
How many years did it take for you to hire your first tech?
I started the company in 2009. Now, I had a few part-time techs that came in and helped me between 2009 and, say, 2017. My first full-time tech I hired, was Richard, who I mentioned earlier. I hired him in 2018.
Nice. That's not too bad.
Uh-uh. Nope, not at all.
Did you have, like, the part-time techs for, like, the busy season?
Yeah, they were mostly guys I knew in the business. And, yeah, I mean, it was just guys I knew. I said, you know, one of them had his own business, but he was just starting, and he was really going hungry and needed the extra cash. So I hired him, come in part-time, help me out, and then he still ran his business in his free time.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Like,
yeah.
This, like, constant competition between everybody.
Right.
It's like, there's enough pests out there in the world for all of us, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can all do it.
Exactly.
And, like, we've never actively gone after, you know, oh, I want this place because this other company does it. They just end up coming to us because, well, that other company is just not doing it right, or they just want different. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's like some of our local ones, they've gotten, like, pissed off at us over it. Yo, you're stealing my stops. I ain't go to nobody. They came to me. Like, the nice lady I was talking about with the ants that when she's wiping the bait away, she used to be with a different local company, and he's just a one-man show. But she was only on Gen Pest, no rodents, whatever.
Right.
And she had it on quarterly, which I know lots and lots of places do quarterly. We don't personally do quarterly here. To us, with our salty air, it just deteriorates the pesticide too quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't like it. I can't guarantee anything for that 3 months. So we do every other month on, I would say, 95% of our residentials.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd called him to tell him she was having a rodent problem. She wanted him to come look. Mm-hmm. He comes over with a small little roll of half-inch hardware cloth and, I think she said, 4 Victor snap traps, hands them to her and says, here you go, and then left.
Yep, I've worked with guys like that.
So her daughter had actually just changed to us from a different local pest company, and her daughter, because I think her daughter was on the phone with her and was like, absolutely not, call these people. They got rid of our rodents. They did it safely because her daughter moved away from the other punk company because morons can't figure out how to place bait inside of a station, and her dog got sick.
God.
Yeah. So she was very, very apprehensive about us using rodenticide, you know, and we were like, we completely get it. You know, we showed her, because they weren't using Evos. I think they were using the Sidekicks or something, you know, something that opened up really, really easily to their very big dogs. So we showed her our Evo Expresses were like, you know, they're nice and tight. They stay locked. I mean, Brandon even like picked one up and dropped it and was like, look, still locked.
Still locked. Yep.
You know, so
we were talking about that at the office the other day. When I started in this industry for that small mom and pop company that I worked for, we used those, I can't think of the name of them now. The ones that fold over, just snap together.
Mm-hmm.
These little plastic thin traps. They didn't lock.
Mm-hmm.
You just put the bait in there and you set them out. And then we also had these cardboard ones. You folded them up and made a box out of them about, like, I don't know if you can see it, but they were about this big.
Yeah.
And they were just cardboard. They didn't lock. You put the bait in there and you set them out. Any child, any dog, any animal could have gotten a hold of them, of the bait in those boxes.
Wow.
And I think back to those days, but that was the norm back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was the norm. Today, you can't do that stuff. You can't. You've got to lock that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Bad thing is people still do it.
Yeah. And I don't know how they don't get in all kinds of trouble for it, because it's just you gotta protect people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's terrible. But we have a few that they very much protest using rodenticide. So our situation with them is always, let us get it under control.
Mm-hmm.
Once we do, the rodenticide will be pulled. The Evos will be filled with snap traps in them. And then if an infestation comes back, we'll put the rodenticide back and get it under control again. And we've never had to put any back. I have, I think, like 4 or 5 residentials now that are snap traps only out in their stations. And they love it. Luckily, one of them was like that because apparently, like, the lock on his Evo broke. I don't know how the hell it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a bad windstorm and the lid popped open on it. But it was just the snap traps inside of it. Thank God. Yeah, he called me and was like, is this supposed to be like this?
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, I know I locked that. He's like, but this piece looks broken. And yeah, like the two little pieces, they were broken off. I have no idea what the hell happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have to replace that one. Like I said, luckily it's just snap traps.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So, Bill, also, what do you think technicians have today that is easier for them than when you first started in the industry?
As far as equipment's concerned?
Equipment or just like a day in the life. The first thing I thought of was GPS. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
Did you start during the map era?
Well, okay. Yes, absolutely I did. Before I got into pest control, my family, or my brother to be specific, owns a flower shop. So right out of high school in 1987, I went to work for the flower shop delivering flowers. So I worked for Steve for about 10 years before I got into pest control. Yes, we had to use maps to find our way around the city. And it was, you had to go to your, okay, you would go to one stop, do the service, then you'd sit in your truck for 10 minutes trying to find your next stop on the map.
Yep.
And then when you figured it out where it was at, then you had to figure out, okay, where am I at? Okay, here I am. Now I've got to get from here to here. How do I do that?
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, yes, I was around at that time. But I will say this, it helped me learn the city. There is not one part of Indianapolis that I don't know. I know the ones I know really well, like the South Side and Greenwood, Indiana. I even know the side streets.
Nice.
I know the streets in the housing additions. I know, there's very few streets I don't know. So that did help.
Yeah, that's got to be helpful because I bet
it is.
You don't even really have to like pull up a GPS for places.
I don't for most. Yeah.
Yeah,
for most.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I will say this, as you get older, sometimes your mind wanders as you're driving. So I still use it just so I don't pass my turn.
Yeah.
Dude, I have one that's maybe 6 blocks away from my house. And I drove by it the other day.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, oh crap, I was supposed to turn there. It's like, okay. So yes, I can, getting older does it.
Yep.
It's just that muscle memory of driving.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, okay. So, like we were just talking about rodenticide. So obviously, it's like anticoagulants and stuff like that now.
Right.
Has it always been that for you? Or was it like the whole cyanide and all that stuff?
No, I've never done. Okay. It's always anticoagulants for me. I know there's some nerve agents and things like that out there, but I've never used any of them. It's always been anticoag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys, or have you, like get the people calling with, especially like tenants at like an apartment building or a house that they're renting, wanting to know what poison you put down, and then you have to explain that it's not poison?
Poison, right.
It's
right.
Like, oh.
Yep. I think people use that term just for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
They don't, it's like, I don't know what to call it. Let's call it poison.
Yeah. I always just chalk it up to like the old pesticides and then like everybody always thinking like a rodenticide is like cyanide poison. And I'm like, it's not poison.
Right.
Like I had one lady freaking out over Niban.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But they kind of get that idea from television.
Yeah.
They really do. They, you see like a cartoon, for example. You see an exterminator in a cartoon. He's got scrolling cult crossbones on his tank or on his truck. And he's, and he's spraying some green shit that's just eating away at everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, a lot of people get that idea. They think everything we use is just high toxicity and just, you know, kill an elephant type of stuff, which we did use that stuff in the 50s.
Yeah. You know,
DDT, man. I had a, when I first got in the industry, I had a gentleman who had been in the industry for many, many years, and he was telling me that he had sprayed a yard with DDT and a toy poodle came across the yard and died.
God.
Yeah. He said that toy poodle just ran across the yard dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would have, I would have been like, nope, done with this. Never
I was like, he told me, I didn't know to believe him at first, but he's like, it's the truth. It happened. I was like, wow. You know, they didn't have the rules and regulations back in those days. They could just spray that stuff anywhere they pleased.
That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I've, you know, everything. And like, I've been very trained, heavy IPM and trying to explain that to people even now. I'm like, I don't need to spray your whole goddamn yard. And I'm not going to anyways. So calm the hell down.
By the way, I remembered his name. His name's Bobby Corrigan. That's the mouse guy that Bobby Corrigan. Love Bobby.
I figured that's who you were talking about.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember his name either because Brandon loves him.
Yeah. Bobby Corrigan's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, back, I think early 2000s, Bobby was actually contracted to go to the Galapagos Islands to get rid of a mouse problem.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was neat because he was hiring pest control technicians to go with him, and they had to stay, I think, 6 months, I do believe. Might have been a year. I can't remember how long. But they were being paid very well. You got to think, this is early 2000s, and they were paying technicians. They were paying for the room and board. And paying him $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Or for the 6 months, I should say. Yeah. So, yeah. But that, I guess at one point, the ecosystem was being destroyed by the mice, the rodent infestation out there.
So yeah.
Had to get something done about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It was.
And here I am. Sign me up for Indianapolis. You mean to tell me I could have gone to an island?
Right. Well, kidding. You know, I actually thought about doing it, but I was like, do I really want to leave my family and my friends for that long?
Right.
But then thinking back, I don't see half those people anymore anyway.
Fair.
I should have gone, damn it.
But look at this legacy you've built. So it all happened for a reason. That's awesome. I do have a question. So I don't think we've covered this. So you worked for your brother.
I did.
How did you figure out or stumble upon pest control?
That was my friend, Jeff. He's, I don't know, I mentioned earlier that he's the one that got me into pest control and trained me.
Yeah.
But he, I love my family, love my brother, hated my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was miserable. I really was not happy. I did not want to spend the rest of my life in the flower industry. It just wasn't for me. And Jeff, we were good friends at the time, so he knew how I felt about it. And he said, and he had just gotten into pest control. He may have gotten in a year before me. And he just kept hounding me and hounding me. He said, I think you would like this. And I finally broke down and I went interviewed with his boss at Pesco. And yeah, that's where it all began. And she hired me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny that, like, nobody, like, thinks about pest control as a job. Like, when you're a little kid, mm-hmm. you're not like, I'm going to grow up to be in pest control.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's start story is either, oh, I just kind of stumbled into it.
Yeah.
Or somebody, you know, one of my friends was, so they got me into it. It's just the funniest thing to me. It's either usually, indeed, we did have a Craigslist one, or, you know, word of mouth.
Yep. It's funny. I think back to when I was a kid. My grandmother, who would babysit me while my parents were at work, and my grandmother, where she lived, had bugs galore. I mean, carpenter ants. Of course, I didn't know that's what they were when I was a kid, but just all kinds of ants and praying mantises. Just, and I would take a jar. She would give me a jar, and I would collect them.
That's awesome.
And I'd put them in the jar, and a few of them would fight each other, and I thought that was cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, I'd get bored, and I'd take that jar and fill it with water. And kill the bugs. I should have known.
You were destined.
I was destined. It was either that or serial killer, so I chose pest control.
You're a serial bug killer. Actually, I have a pop socket that says that. Yeah, it's a serial bug killer.
We're all on the verge of psychopath. So what are you drinking tonight, Candace?
Well, I was drinking coffee, but I have finished it.
Good job.
But out of my specialized mug from SpenglerArt.com, there's me and Jenny as mices.
That's awesome. I love that. Here, hold that up a little closer. I want to see you as mices. Oh, those are cool. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, see, this
mine is in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's like right before he said that he was going to start doing mugs, me and Jenny were talking about he needs to do mugs because like this, we don't drink out of these at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know,
that's for, yep.
But we're like, we need a mug, you know? And then like, I think like a few days later, like, oh, would anybody be interested in 15-ounce ceramic mugs? I'm going, oh, me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got your mug for your coffee in the morning, and then you got your tumbler for whatever you drink in your truck.
Exactly.
For the day. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy Jack, sorry. That's awesome. And me.
With the penis.
That's the penis.
That's the penis.
That detail. That was such an oddball conversation that, like, Jack was just dying over, and he, at the time, he really wasn't doing a whole lot of AI, so he asked Tony to make up that, and then we just laughed about it, and then I was like, dude, I gotta put that on a Tumblr.
Penis.
So yes. This is special edition, only two in circulation, owned by Jack and me.
Awesome.
Who the hell
cool.
else is gonna want that? I don't know. It could be somebody weird out there that wants it.
No, it might be good for scaring the mice away.
Oh, no, penis.
No,
penis. Big J, penis. Oh, God. But all of that is from SpenglerArt.com. His tumblers are amazing. They keep your hot.
Yes, they are.
Hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold.
I have received many, many Tony tumbler gifts in my.
Yes.
Since
they're
Brad's
awesome.
Company. I've got
you
three
got
or
their
four
rubber
of those
bottoms.
Now. Yep.
Double wall insulated. You get your lid that I never have on one of these, and your straws and all that fun, and then your 15-ounce mugs with a nice big handle on them.
That's awesome.
Like, I don't have small mitts. I don't. Like, I wear like a large to an extra large in gloves. I don't have small hands. But look at that. I love this. I hate the like the tiny handle shit where you gotta carry it all weird and then your finger starts to hurt.
You got two fingers in there holding it like this and it's
that.
Yep.
Very annoying.
I think over the last couple months I've shown all of yours, Bill, on the podcast. Yeah. So everybody's seen all your tumblers.
She's like, I forgot mine in the truck. Here's Bill's.
Look at this one. This one's cool.
I think just last week you showed his William the Merciful one.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got that as my profile picture on Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen I love it. So you
go to SpenglerArt.com and get you a tumbler, a mug, lots of other different things. Like Leanne even does like the badge pull things, like and decorates them up really cool and stuff. Lots of different things on there. Go
That's
find
cool.
something. Talk to Tony. Talk to Leanne. They'll figure out stuff for you if you don't have that creative mind to make something for them to put on there. They'll get it done for you.
I had Tony make a tumbler for my niece's high school graduation, and it had her high school graduation photo on it, and then it was just really cool, and she
That's
loved
awesome.
It. She loved it. Yep. She
personalized
in fact,
things like that are just fun.
Yeah. Yep.
He does good work.
He does. He does great work.
So if you could give a piece of advice to a person starting in the pest control industry for the first time, what would you say to them?
Wow. Piece of advice. Yeah, it is a big one. Just the biggest piece of advice that I've learned because I've been in the industry a long time. And the biggest piece of advice is be honest. Don't lie to your customers. Don't make stuff up. If you don't know the answer, ask.
That's awesome.
I've worked with so many people who are so afraid of not knowing and feeling like they don't know what they're doing in front of the customer, and they'll just make stuff off the top of their head. Don't do that. That's the biggest piece of advice. If you don't know and you're honest with your customer, honesty is going to go a long way with your customer.
Yeah.
Long way. And most of the time, if you're honest with them, they're going to understand. So don't, if you're embarrassed to feel like that you think the customer's not going to know that you don't know what you're doing, don't. Because if you tell them up front, hey, I'm kind of new and I don't know, They're going to understand. But let me call somebody and find out the answer.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to appreciate that more than you telling them. For example, I mean, this was early in my career. I went out and somebody had told a customer that the German cockroach was a colony pest, that they had a queen. And I said, no, they aren't. Oops. And so, yeah. So, I mean, and so I got the job. But, you know, things like that, if you're not sure, or, he may have been, maybe that's what he actually thought. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, just be honest with your customer. Be honest with, just be honest.
Yeah.
And you'll go, it goes a long way. It goes a long way.
I've had to do that. I'm like, I don't know, but let me call Brandon really quick. Or we literally have computers in our hands.
I've been in the industry 26 years. I get pictures of bugs that I have no idea what they are sometimes.
Okay, but now luckily, do you get pictures of bugs or you just get pictures of bugs?
Sometimes I get pictures of bugs. Sometimes I get pictures of bugs. But somebody will send me a picture, and if I'm not sure, 100% sure what it is, I know some entomologists that can help me out.
Right.
And I send them to those entomologists, and I say, hey, can you verify this is what the bug we're talking about? And they're like, yes, it is, or no, it isn't.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know everything. But in the years, as 27 years in the industry, I don't know everything. Nobody will ever know in everything.
Oh, God, no.
In this industry.
And if they think they do, then you really don't want them to be your
right.
tech. Because they're not learning anything then. Because they're like, yeah, I know. I hate people that do that in anything. When you tell them something, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. No, you don't. You obviously don't.
Absolutely.
That's so, like telling your kids anything.
God.
I know.
Don't get me started with that one.
Yeah, right.
You did your piece of advice for somebody getting into pest control.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your piece of advice for somebody wanting to start their own company?
Well, expect to go hungry, especially your first year. If you're going to start like I did, slowly, just be patient. Be patient, because it will come, but just be patient. I mean, and make sure you've got some money in the bank, because you got to eat.
Yeah.
You got to eat.
Right.
I do, and I will always say this, because people will go out and get a big bankroll, you know, get a loan from the bank and to start a business and then owe money right off the bat. Don't do that. There's no guarantee that you're going to be able to pay that back when you're starting from scratch.
Right.
But if, you know, if you're going to buy a company, hire a lawyer, hire a business attorney. Don't try to do it on your own, because bad things can happen. So, yeah, I mean, that's the best advice I can give, is just be patient, because it's not going to come at once. Don't get upset. Don't get angry if your customer doesn't want to go with you. There's enough business out there for all of us.
Yeah.
So you'll win some, you lose some.
Right. I like that. That's awesome. But
that is a good one.
I'm not going to need a lawyer, because I'm buying Trio one day when you're ready.
You're right. You're right. You're not going to need a lawyer. I'm going to rip you up. No.
Damn.
Yeah. You're going to pay 10 times what it's worth.
No, so you're going to be super nice and be like, just give me a dollar.
Nah, I'll pay you enough so you can go to Cancun and, you know.
You're just trying to get rid of me.
Don't watch what I do. Go away.
Well, shit, I need some years for you to teach me how to do this shit, so can't go too soon.
Well, see, that's what Fort Wayne's for. You got to start learning exactly. How to do it all.
Yep, that's my training wheels right there.
There you go.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. I think you and I are going to have a lot of fun
with
this new venture. I think it's going to be great.
Yes, level up.
From the sounds of it, you guys are already having a lot of fun.
We do.
Like, prior to her working for you, it was always, you know, the very, like, just worn out Jenny. She's so goddamn tired, you know. And then, like, as soon as she told me she was hired over there, like, I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Awesome. Like, I knew pretty much the day she knew. She was just like, you just can't say anything. I'm like, that's not my business to tell. That's not me to tell. No. But then, like, it was so exciting, like, the first day she recorded there, because she had the blue background. And I'm just like,
yes.
Well, I tell you, we're thrilled to have her, and I know, and I'm glad she's happy to be with us. I think it's match made in heaven. I think we're I think things are going to go far with all of us, with both of us. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. But you know what? We need to hire some young guys. These old farts are going to retire pretty soon.
Damn, Dale is a freaking superhero.
Isn't he, though? I'm telling you.
Like, he blows me out the water sometimes.
Dale's 75 years old, and he still gets out there, gets in attics, and does termite work and crawl spaces and doesn't complain and just says, I'm here to help.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an incredible human.
He is. He is. He very much is.
That's his sigh. It's like a it's like a yodel almost.
That's great.
He's a great guy. Yes. That's one thing with being at Trio, being surrounded by old school pest control. It's been amazing because I think I'm getting a unique experience that a lot of technicians don't get, because like my previous experience with big box and stuff, it was kind of a mixture. A lot of people my age or younger or whatever, but this has been an amazing learning experience. Really.
Yep. I've been lucky enough in my career to make some good friends. Mm-hmm. And most of those friends have worked for me at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Dale, Richard, and I worked for Circle City Pest Control, and then Brad and I worked for the Big Green Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, did I forget Dusty? Yeah, Dusty, Brad, and I worked for the Big Green Tea. So almost every employee, with the exception of Jenny and our previous employee, Aaron, mm-hmm. I think everybody I've ever had working for me, I've worked with in the past.
That's cool.
So, and I love that, just because that these guys have enough respect for me,
mm-hmm.
that they would come to work for me.
Yeah.
You know, because if they didn't like me or thought I was an asshole of any kind, I don't think they'd be there.
Right.
So that just kind of warms my heart, man, when things like that happen in my life.
That is why you are the merciful.
Yes. And not to mention, your first female tech ever is willing to travel 3 hours away from home. And, you know,
yes, she has.
It's, I just knew that Trio was worth it. It was worth what I would gain out of it, was worth any kind of sacrifice.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Well, like I said, you've been a godsend, hon. You know, you're a smart girl. My customers love you. I love you. I know all the guys love you. I hear nothing but good things from everyone. So
and I love you.
You're pretty awesome. I know it. How you exactly?
Aw.
And you rescued me from the big box life of being micromanaged and treated like a number.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, Brad and I and Dusty, we all know what that's like working for the Big Green Tea. We were nothing but a bottom line and a number to them.
Yep.
And other than that, they didn't care about us.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't care
about
us.
They care about you when you're not producing.
Yes. Yep.
They care about you if you're sick because you're not producing.
If you are producing and you grow your route too big, well, you're making too much money. You can't make that much money. And then they would cut our routes. I was making $87,000, and that's pretty good money back in the early 2000s. 87 grand was good money. They came in and cut my route down to 40,000, said I was making too much money. That's when I was done.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, big companies, they don't reward you for doing good work. They punish you.
Yeah. They reward you for just being complacent.
Who wants to work for somebody like that? I wouldn't.
Nobody wants
to.
Nobody with a sound mind wants to be punished for doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or and what my experience was is that all of a sudden this month, the supervisors care about such and such score. So now we're just going to harp on it mm-hmm. on it. And let's write you up over something that was completely beyond your control or whatever.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my God, stupid.
Yeah, didn't you used to get scored, Jenny, on cancellations?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were your fault.
Yeah.
Because somebody moved.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was the thing is I guess I understand, and I heard this at different seminars I've been to and stuff, where you got to monitor your numbers and blah, blah, blah. I get that, but with their cancellation, most of these big box cancellation schemes, it doesn't account for somebody moving or something completely beyond the technician's fault.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, Bill, you can see those. You probably know your numbers, the cancellations and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely do.
But
yep.
I never hear you coming at us like, hey, you know, Susie moved last week.
Yeah. Well, because I know.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have cancellations. People are going to move. People are going to pass away. People are going to lose their job. People are, you know, things happen in life. That's life.
Yeah.
Pest control, if you can't afford pest control right now, I'm sorry, we'll cancel your service. If things get better, call us back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We had one of those.
But I'm not going to punish my employees for that.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
their fault. Not their fault they lost their job or moved or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I will say this, with the group we have, I can't even remember the last time I had a customer cancel because they were unhappy with the service. It's been a long time since that's happened.
That's awesome.
Good. I haven't had any cancellations over, you know, satisfaction. I've had one because my husband can do it now. Okay, fine. Not going to argue with you. And I can't think of another one, but I've had two that I've placed on hold, both because of job loss. One of them's been my friend since, God, let's see, okay, her son's 16, mine was almost 16, for about 15, 16 years. You know, she lost her job. She had a very well-paying job. She decided to not be the corporate yes man anymore. HR didn't like it. They fired her. So I'm not going to make it harder on her. Sure.
Right.
Like, that's fine. If anything major happens, let me know. Like, don't let a whole huge infestation of something happen. Let me know. And then I had another one that canceled because her husband lost his job. Well, they didn't cancel. We put it on hold for him for, I think it was about 6 months or so. And then she called me back and was like, hey, we're getting really bad spiders. I want to restart up our stuff. You know, he's gotten another job. Cool. And then we started her back up. And then she just like, hey, on my next service, can you also do a flea job along with it? I know it's going to be some extra. I get
extra?
It. But the dog's got really bad fleas. You know, I'm like, he needs to be treated, this, that, and the other. Oh, he's treated. She showed me what he's treated with. Cool. He's treated. I'm happy. You know, and it's been great. Like, shit happens. You can't punish your techs because, like you said, life.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, now if like somebody's canceling because, you know, hey, I asked Jenny to spray around my house and she flipped me the bird and said, fuck you.
Yeah, you're right.
then yes, punish the tag. Yeah.
Well, depending on which customer it is, I might high five her. No.
Jenny, how dare you?
And that is the perk of working for a small company. That was the whole lesson of this entire episode. No, I'm kidding. That has been life-changing being with Trio, that like I know that my boss will understand if there's like an actual awful issue, and you know, like if I come to Bill and like, hey, they cursed at me and threw a shoe at me, he's not gonna be like the big O would be like, well, what'd you do? like an abusive boyfriend. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or, you know, yeah, like one of our stories last week with the guy that got the Viagra in his cup and they kept making him go back out there.
Yeah.
I know Bill would be like, absolutely the fuck not.
Like, I'm sorry.
Why are you drugging my damn pet or tech?
What happened with the Viagra? I didn't hear.
There was a tech that he was doing service for an elderly lady, and I guess her friend was there or something. But
okay.
They ground up a Viagra in a glass of water, and she always offered him water. It was a hot summer day. He was like, okay, cool. He drank it. It took effect, as he said.
No,
like there was a second Maglite in his pocket. And then they started like asking him if they could have a taste, like literally sexually harassed and or assaulted him. And he worked for, I think he said he worked for the big O, and he told them that he's not going back. And they're like, yes, you are. Laughed at him when
You're
they told him the story.
Me.
And kept sending him back. And when he refused to go, they kept giving him write-ups for it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was when I read that story, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, they well, number one, they can't force him to do that account.
Yeah.
They can't.
And he didn't go back. Yeah, but they kept putting it on his route.
I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And if they fired me over it, well, that's a court case right there.
I was about to say, yeah. I was drugged at this house.
Yeah. You're not giving your technician a good work environment by doing that. And that makes them liable.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Once again, it's the difference between the small company
right.
and the large company that just sees you as a number. They don't give a fuck.
Well, that's the higher ups should know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're just asking for a lawsuit that way.
I was about to say, yeah.
The higher ups should know business law.
Yeah.
I mean, they really should. So I can understand a manager or, you know, office manager or somebody like that. But over their head, they should know better.
Yeah, I think it was.
They should know better.
He said it was his branch manager. Because he said, like, when he left, he immediately got on the phone with them, told him what happened, and then he laughed about it. And I'm like,
wow.
What? Oh, I'm like,
that's terrible.
Yeah, because I told him that he was, you know, essentially sexually assaulted. And he was like, well, I'm a guy. That doesn't matter. I said, no. I said, if women can claim everything as sexual assault, then literal sexual assault towards a dude is sexual assault. I'm sorry. It is.
What if it was reversed? What if it was an older gentleman and a young woman?
And
that wouldn't have happened that way.
No.
That would have happened that way.
It would have been on the news and everything.
Yeah.
I did not see that. That's awful.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's awful. I did not know about that.
Yeah, that one was bad. I couldn't believe that shit. I'm not saying that I don't believe it. Just reading it, I was just like, no fucking way, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Because how do you treat your techs that way? I don't care who you work for, where you work. No.
Well, let me ask you guys. Let me be the interviewer for a minute.
Okay.
Being women, have you been sexually harassed on the job?
In pest control or just in the job? In pest control, I would say I haven't.
No.
And it's probably a good thing, or else my husband would probably be.
Yep.
Because he's already told me that if something like, because like, he listened to that story. He said, if something like that ever fucking happens to you, you call me immediately and then get bail money ready.
I have.
Have you?
Yep. With Purple X, I had a client that was harassing me for several weeks over phone and was leaving me all kinds of voicemails and all kinds of creepy things. Trying to find me on Facebook because all of a sudden it's like as the people I may know and all the things. But then once since I've been with Trio and I told you guys this, but the guy came to the door in nothing but shorts. So he had no shirt on and he goes, pardon me for not having enough clothes on. And I was like, oh, you know, whatever. And he goes,
wow,
you should have been here earlier because I didn't. What did he say? Because I didn't have pants on then either. And then the whole time I was servicing, he was saying creepy stuff or whatever. Well, I left and I told Brad about it. And then the number on the account wasn't him. So I called it and it was like his daughter-in-law. And she's like, he's got dementia and this and that. And I was like, well, you know, that still was no like excuse for any of that. Like if you knew he was like that, you probably, you know.
You should have probably made other arrangements for him to not be there.
Yep, she was like, well, I never thought a woman would show up for it. And I was like, wow, okay.
Wow.
Thanks, bitch.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, early in my career, I've had a couple of instances. One was in a mobile home park. And this woman, dear God. She wouldn't keep her hands off of me, number one. And she wasn't shy about the whole thing. She just flat out said, all I want to do is fuck.
No.
That's all I want. She didn't want a relationship. She said, I just want to fuck.
No. And you're just like.
I'm just like, okay, thank you. And she was telling me about her tattoos. Hidden tattoos down below. Mm-hmm. And I, being the funny guy that I am, I looked at her. I said, does it say welcome?
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, she wasn't shy about it at all. It was funny.
That's
wild. And that's the common misconception is that ladies are always the ones being harassed. I mean,
right.
I'm sure guys did it too, servicemen who are coming to people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
People mm-hmm. are much more confident in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
That's oh, yeah. Right. Yep.
I have lucked out to not have... No, we had one lady open the door in her towel, which she said she just got out of the shower, but her hair wasn't even wet. She still had makeup on.
Yeah.
We were there to do a roach treatment. So she was just delaying.
Yep.
But, yeah. But she, like, kept opening the door in her towel. And so Brandon's like, you knock on the door. I don't want to be here anymore. And I'm like, good, because if she tries to step to me, you're going to need bail money for me.
Right.
Because just as protective he is over me, it's vice versa.
Yep.
Don't touch.
Yep.
No.
So, Candace, next week we're thinking we're going to do the grand finale of the first season of Pestrogen Podcast / and Ask Us Anything?
Yes.
Question mark? Yeah.
We'll reminisce over what we've done over the year, and then
we'll get
questions from people that just... Ask us whatever. We've done an Ask Us Anything once, and I think it went really well. I think everybody really liked that one.
Congratulations, guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, so thank then we're going to take the rest of December off for Christmas. Yeah. And
sure.
And then, I have a day after New Year's Day baby that will be turning 16.
Aww.
Oh.
Yes. January 2nd.
That's awesome.
My baby will be 16.
That's cute.
As all of that, all wrapped into one. It was great. I was happy I was late with him because I was supposed to have him on Christmas.
Wow.
I'm okay with that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Bill, you were our last guest for 2025. Yep.
Hey, go out with a bang, right?
That's right. And I love the idea of this series, too, because it's fun to hear of our criteria was the at least 15 years in the industry. So you definitely showed that up, and you had a lot of really cool stories. So
well, good. Well, I'm glad you guys had me on. I appreciate it. It's been great.
No problem.
All right.
Alrighty.
All right.
For the Pestrogen Podcast, thank you for joining us today. I was Candace with my co-host Jenny and our amazing, amazing guest, William the Merciful, over at Trio Pest Control. Thank you so much for listening and join us again next week. Go out and kick some ass.
Go out and kick some ass.